Gerald McCoy Show. Now, Buccaneers defensive tackle Gerald McCoy and your host, Scott Ledger.
Ledge.
There it is.
What's up, my man?
You know, we need you to do. We need you to come in and do some of the openings now.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I may do it one day.
I must say, dude, you are incredibly, impeccably dressed today. Like, color-coordinated beyond color-coordinated.
Hey, that's what I do.
Sweater, get the hat, the shoes. They're all different products, but it's almost like exact same color. Are you, like, stepping out tonight? Are you going anywhere? Are you
hanging out, man.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going somewhere.
No, I'm hanging out.
You're going to go out?
Mm-mm.
So you get noticed in public at all?
Yeah, at times.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how? Like, old people noticed or, like, hot?
I get noticed.
Hot lady noticed.
I get noticed.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That a boy. Good. Well, you got a big smile, big good-looking guy like you. You're going to get noticed one way or the other.
We're 6'3", man.
Yeah, that helps, doesn't it?
Can't you be happy about that? We're 6'3".
Doesn't it?
Yeah, man.
That's got to feel good. You know, coming in and all these things. Oh, they're a young team and they're rebuilding. This guy's a piece of the puzzle and all. And now you guys are 6-3. So give us, like, your overall idea of what it was like. Like, Sunday night, you're driving home and you're thinking, you know, what are you thinking? Fill in the blanks. Give me a couple things. What are you thinking about your coach right now, first of all?
Oh, he's a dynamic coach. I mean, I've been saying that for weeks. He's a great coach. Always does a great job. And, you know, he's on fire right now. And us being 6-3 doesn't do anything but add fuel to the fire. And he's ready to roll.
All right. Now, switch me over to some of the guys you're playing defense with, because the reason I'll bring that up is, you know, statistically, it's tightening up. It's starting to tighten up. Fewer yardage surrendered on the ground. But I think most importantly, two games in a row now, even though you didn't win the Atlanta game, there were big third down stops in the second half of that game. And then, of course, we saw the same thing. This time around, Saints end up with incredible field position two different times, and you held them to 3 points. So it's got to be feeling a little bit good as a D unit. You know, what are you guys feeling about or talking about? How's that going?
You know, it's just those little things we're trying to tighten up. I say each week that, you know, if we get the win, then we can fix those little things. Well, there were some things we didn't do last week.
Give me an example.
We didn't get started fast as we wanted to last week against Atlanta.
Yep.
And, you know, this week our coaches said to us, I wonder how we could do if we came out and played with a lead. If we started out the beginning of the game like we do the second half. So, you know, and they talked about turning up the dial, you know, for the second half of the season. And I think everybody heard him. I think everybody heard our coach. And, you know, we just wanted to come out and start fast, and we did.
That's exactly what you do. They got a first down. Steve Smith moved the sticks, and then Goodson comes right up the middle. Actually, you were in the backfield when you hit him.
Yeah.
And she hit him, like, right around your waist. Describe that play.
You know, I got a soft zone block away. And, you know, what I'm supposed to do is press the LOS, which is the line of scrimmage, and get up. And what I did is I seen it go down, so I planted my foot and got upfield, and he was right there.
There's a quick change of direction from you. It was a very quick change of direction. It was like you were heading one way, and then you almost reached back.
Right.
As your body was still kind of going one way and reached back. Sean Jones recovered the fumble.
Sean Jones recovered it, yeah.
And you guys get off to the fast start you're talking about. And, you know, we talk about everything here on this show, even though you're a defensive player. It was great to see you guys start at 49 midfield, but you didn't turn it into 3 points. You turned it into 7. So it's not just the defense goes, hey, we're making a play. The offense goes, we got your back now. So that's what I'm talking about when it's you're starting to see it happen on both sides of the ball, though. But Aurelius Ben, I know you know, he's one of the younger guys in a locker room like you and stuff, but we're starting to hear these names mentioned in gossip. You know, I go out Sunday night after I do a game, and I usually sit quietly. Even though the people know what I do, they go, boy, mm-hmm. Let you're not talking much. Dude, I've just been talking for 9 hours, okay?
Right.
But what I do is I listen to the people talk buck talk around the bar as they're watching that 8 o'clock game at night. And now we're starting, yeah, McCoy, you know, oh, yeah, did you see that? You know, you batted down, what, 2 passes, I believe,
two passes.
Right?
Yeah.
2 different passes defensed,
yeah.
Which means you get close to the quarterback and he's throwing it. So it's almost like you got to feel good about it, but that's got to frustrate you a little too.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, you want to get him down, but as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do for the team, which is changing the game,
yep.
Altering the quarterback's throw, then I'm doing what I'm doing.
One was on third down or two? Because I know one was definitely on third down.
I know I one was as soon as we were – it was the last play before halftime.
Yeah.
And the other one was on second down.
It was in the – yeah.
Second
okay.
down.
Okay. And
it was, it was in the red zone, though, and you need to get a big stop.
And you also had a tackle for loss as well. So that's what I – you know, two tackle for losses, by the way. You're also, by the way, starting, you know, to not just – let's say we were talking about this off-air – and we're not going to throw any names under the bus, but as a defensive unit, everybody has to have gap responsibility. And if you're shooting in the backfield and your back's coming your way and suddenly he's going, uh-oh, there's McCoy, I'm going to change things up. Other people got to do their gig, too, on the other, on the backside of that play. But how often do you find you're I see that happening more and more often. So
yeah.
Why is that happening?
Well, Coach Morris wants me to he said he wants me to get in the backfield and cause disruption, get off the ball. Don't think so much. Just get in the backfield and alter what the running back is doing, what the quarterback is doing. So that's just me doing my job. And all I can worry about is what I have to do. What everybody else is doing, I can't worry about that because I'm not them. But, you know, us as a unit, we'll tighten that up. But as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, then, you know, that's what the coach
guys
has to
do. Guys are mixing it up. I saw Barrett coming. It looked like a clean stunt, almost like an A-gap blitz.
Yeah.
Look, it came right up the middle, got a sack, so it's good to see everybody's doing a job. But here's an example. You know, the Panthers later on, just in their field goal to get 7-3, you know, they were in a 3rd-and-10, a 3rd-and-7, and a 3rd-and-12. That means you guys are getting successful on 1st and 2nd down. Or more success. And I'm seeing more and more tackles along the line of scrimmage or right around the line of scrimmage by the D-line and by linebackers and by corners in support. So we're starting to see a more basically you guys are being more stout, I guess you could say, in the pits. Does that make sense to you? Do you see that more often?
Well, what we want to do is get the opposing team in the passing situations. We're not getting enough passes, and when we are getting passes, they're three-step drops. Well, you know, the less yardage we allow on 1st and 2nd down, the longer the pass has to be, so it can't be a quick three-step pass. They have to drop back and wait for something to develop. And then that's when we can actually get after the passer.
And you guys are, as far as 1st and 2nd down, you're starting to get more satisfied with your success because it's not like you're pitching a ton of 3 and outs yet, but you're starting to get more and more and more of that. I understand it's Jimmy Clausen. I understand it's maybe a backup running back, but that's still the same very good offensive line for the Carolina Panthers. And let me ask you about your overall assessment of what it's like to play a game you're supposed to win against a team that's not supposed to be good. Seemed to me like they gave you their effort every damn play of the game, bro.
Yeah, the thing is, I said, man, you know, it's a conference game. You never want to underestimate your opponent, especially when it's an opponent that's in your conference, because everybody's trying to win their conference, and nobody wants to lose a division game. Nobody does. So, you know, regardless, our coach told us, Coach Morris told us, regardless of who we're playing, you know, it doesn't matter of who they have, what personnel they have. They're going to give you their best. That's what Carolina does. And we were ready for that, man. And they came out storming, but, you know, we had an answer for them.
They get that field goal, and then it becomes the LeGarrette Blount show. Rips off, what, 24-yarder, a 3-yarder, a 17-yarder, then another 17-yarder.
He did like a ninja flip or something, didn't he?
Have you seen the highlight of that touchdown yet?
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
That was.
He is a jumping machine. That's what he does. He just jumps over people, jumps around people. He just jumps. I don't know.
The only way I could describe that is having the wherewithal to realize where that goal line is. As you're going in and flipping around, you're moving the ball, you're landing on your hand. It just seems to me that you can't plan that. So
you can't coach that. That's just him being
exactly.
a player.
Exactly.
The thing about Blount is he's just a running back. He's just a good running back. It's just what he is. He just can run the ball. That's what he's supposed to do is run the ball. And he always falls forward. It's like people just bounce off of him.
I know you play D-line, but, you know, Buck fans, everybody who loves football realizes no better way to demoralize a team than to run it down their throats.
Mm-hmm.
And offensive linemen get more jacked up. You get a big back that starts, you know, doing the old poof, poof. Everybody seems to get a little bit more revved up. But we also like, you know, all within the limits of the rules of the game, we like some attitude. We like someone who's got, honestly, we like someone who's a little bit of a badass. We do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think that's LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, he's a hard runner, and, you know, you just don't want to get in his way because he's going to run it right at you. And not saying he can't shake you, but trust me, he will run over you. He can run around you or over you.
Would you describe him as deceptively fast?
Yeah. It's when you're watching him, it just seems like he's doing everything in slow motion. But once he gets out in front of people, they can't catch him. Or he's turning the corner on people, or, you know, I don't know what it is. But he definitely gets it done.
John Vaughn answers back. They get, you know, that's the thing about this game. We're sitting there, and I'm looking over the script that I have to write when we talk about this game. And, you know, here it is, 14-10. You guys were out to that 14-3 lead. And I'm like, you know, here's the stinking Panthers finding a way to get it done one way or the other. And then you guys kind of trade a couple of possessions. But then a guy, and I saw the excitement and everybody rally around Winslow when he scored his touchdown. And you could tell that this team realizes that he's such a major cog in the offense. But it's got to be a little frustrating when you were expected to be. You know, he had 7 touchdowns last year. This is a guy that we expect to be a problem for teams in the red zone.
Right.
And what did you see how sick that catch was he made?
Yeah, he was double covered, and he dove and snatched it out. He didn't catch it. He snatched it out there.
Yeah.
Like, that was supposed to go past him, and he snatched it. I mean, but that's K2. You know, that wasn't Kellen. That was K2. That's what he does. So it didn't surprise anybody that he did that.
All right, so then I think in the second half, as much as they were really trying to do a good job, and they did, if you look at LeGarrette's yardage in the first half compared to the second half, they really started to key on him. There were a couple of times the minute he had the ball, there were 2 or 3 people in the backfield just going.
Yeah, they had 8 in the box. Yeah. They were ready. Yeah. They were ready. They had 8 in the box, and they weren't afraid to show it. They was letting us know, look, we have to stop him. So that's what they brought 8 down.
And they did, and, you know, it tightens up a little. You know, John Casey, you know, he gets paid, one of the oldest kickers in the league. You know, it's 21-16. It's a 5-point game. The crowd is kind of – would you say the crowd was nervous? It seemed like at times they just were a little bit apprehensive, thinking, you know, this is a young team. Are they – you know, can they finish off the Panthers or the Panthers? Because, obviously, if you know the rivalry, John Fox has found a way to beat us sometimes late in games. But coming into that last, before we get to the Connor Barth's field goal, which was, you know, another Mike Williams show, what did you feel when they chipped away? They chipped away. What were you guys thinking on the sideline?
Well, they did, but, you know, it was also just like when we had Arizona down. It was almost the same situation. We came out, you know, leading the second half, and we let them get back in it. Well, we didn't want to allow that to happen. And, yeah, they did score, but, you know, we knew we had to stop them.
It's 2 field goals, though. Those are 2 big stops for you guys.
Right. I mean, you get put in bad, you know, bad field position, you want your defense to come up with a big stop. We did that. That was all pride on our part. Nobody blamed the offense. Things happen. That's what this game is about. Things happening, sudden change. And that's what happened with us. And we had to come out and get a big stop. And we did.
You force a fumble early in the game. Barrett Rood gets a sack. And then in one series, and I think back to the first time we played Carolina, it was an all-out blitz. And Aqib Talib basically had Steve Smith covered, and they ended up scoring that touchdown anyway.
Right.
This time around, Aqib Talib bats down, actually was there, comes back on a running play, which was sick. Where I think it was Goodson doubled all the way back around.
Right. What happened was.
What happened on that?
What happened was Goodson kind of got a sweep, I guess you can call it.
He was running left.
Or a stretch.
He was running left.
And us collectively as a defense, everybody played off their cut. Nobody got cut. So we all played off of it. Mike Bennett was pursuing backside. I was front side. I made him cut back into Mike. Mike just took slightly a bad angle because, you know, Mike Goodson got a little wiggle to him, so he kind of dipped and got around Mike. But he did his job like he was supposed to. So he got around Mike, and on film, it looks like Aqib came from the end zone.
Yeah, he was probably,
about
25
yards back.
With
Steve Smith. Yep. And he blazed down and made a tackle for a loss.
I know.
That's what was crazy. He tackled him behind the line of scrimmage.
Submarined him beautifully.
Yeah.
You know, just a textbook tackle when a guy's, you know, trying to make that cut on you. But then the very next play, crossing paddle over the middle, and he gets his paw and breaks it down. So you saw early in the season a couple of times Aqib Talib maybe took a gamble on something and got and paid the price for it. And other times he's had those two pick games. I think he's starting to realize that he can be a game changer in this league. And when you guys get those two big stops, they have to settle for field goals. By the way, we end up with a Connor Barth field goal, courtesy of a really nice drive. It's kind of like, you know, when you think of the touchdown drives, but, you know, we started on your 20, Ben with a big 20-yarder, Mike Williams, 23 yards, Mike Williams with another 11-yard slant, and Connor Barth gets a field goal, makes it 24-16. And at that point, I think we were all breathing a little easier. We're realizing that, you know, given this offense and the weapons we have, we're going to move this ball down. And we'll come back and do more. I'll finish it up real quick talking about that game, how the defense really came up at the end. And I want to ask you about that fourth down stand. I mean, it's not like the game was on the line, but it seems to me there was a statement being made there.
Right.
Am I right?
It was.
All right. We'll come back and talk about that. Let's get you guys on the phone lines. All right. Let's load them up. Wide open lines. We'll take your calls at 813-990-4620. 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. It's the Gerald McCoy Show. We're going to have Roy Miller here tomorrow night, as a matter of fact, for Buccaneers Total Access. Josh Freeman on Thursday night. The team is traveling out west, so there'll be no Buccaneers Total Access this Friday night at all. Get on those lines. Come back. Take your calls right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
To the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Thanks to Jeff Ryan for loaning me somebody else's old man glasses, because I left my old man glasses at home. I can actually read my notes again. But welcome back to the Gerald McCoy Show. We already have Greg and Brandon locked and loaded. That means we have open lines behind both those guys. Get on. We'll take your calls in about another 60 seconds or so. 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620.
Just an FYI, you don't have to have old man eyes to wear glasses.
Well, yeah, but you have, you know those logos on the side there?
Mm-hmm.
That means those glasses are cost more than my truck does. All right, man, before we get to that little fourth down stand at the end of the game, let me ask you about one of the emotional leaders on this team. You weren't here for his rehabs, but fans know the sacrifice that Cadillac Williams has made. And tell me how great it was, A, that third down 16-yard screen pass to him, and then the big touchdown to kind of seal the deal.
That's what a leader is, man. Caddy, he leads in different ways. You know, he coaches up blunt. He's unselfish. And I think I was talking about him on the show last week. He's just that type of guy, man. And he said, you know, somebody needs to make a play. Why not me?
He called his shot. That's what Freeman said. He called his shot in the huddle. You know, like Babe Ruth, like, give me this. If you give me the ball, I'm going to score here.
He did, man. Man, they gave him that pass, screen pass. Great play for us. Gave him the ball. He found a hole. Found two different holes. Seen to the left, cut back to the right, and had enough in him speed to get to the end zone.
You've been around some running backs now, nine different games. You've seen quite a few running backs in this league. If someone said to you, oh, Caddy's lost a step after watching that touchdown run, what would you say to that person?
No, the defense made the statement at the end of the game. That was Caddy's statement of, I still got it.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
There was a burst there.
Right.
There was definitely a burst. All right. You know, they make a couple of passes. They got a funky couple of pass interference calls. Sometimes you got to wonder if they're just – I don't know why refs make the calls they do towards the end of games. You know, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories floating around. But they end up looking at no timeouts. And they threw the ball to the corner on the first down play. And I thought, well, with no timeouts, they're just going to keep trying to throw the ball. But they decided they were going to run it in with two successive quarterback sneaks. And you guys stuffed them, and I mean stuffed them. What was it like down there? It seemed, even though the game was well in hand, we knew we were going to win that game at that time. It seemed they had somehow found a way to score a touchdown, crazy onside kicks and weird scenarios. So in the back of my mind, we're always worried, you know, let's just make sure we get this ball back. But it seemed like it was very intense down there.
It was. And us as a group, we said, man, I don't care if they score, they don't win. It doesn't matter. We are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is our defense. This is our field. We're not going to let them score to, you know, cut down their score. We don't. It doesn't matter if they wasn't going to win the game. That was a pride thing then, and we held them. Two good stops.
Josh gets to take the knee, which every fan loves to see.
Right.
The victory formation is what they call it.
Roy Miller and Al Woods, man, great pad level.
Big time Al Woods.
Yeah.
On the, again, Sarg guard center right there. He just, that's great to see, man. It's great to see young bodies that are just starting to move other bodies around. Ready to take some calls?
Yes.
All right, Brandon, you're on deck. We're coming to you first. We got room behind these guys, by the way, at 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620. Greg in St. Pete, you're on the Gerald McCoy Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Gerald, how's it going? Hello?
Greg?
Yeah, we got you.
Hey, Gerald, how's it going, buddy?
All right, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Hey, first, a couple of things. I just appreciate your faith and outspokenness, and your Bible verse gives a great witness to the sports people out there and the people that are listening to you. I just had two questions. One, it seems like teams will play against you as a person. They'll double team you. They'll play their playbook around you. How frustrating is that? And is there a way that you, I know you move around a little bit, but is there a way that the teammates help you with the two-man? Because you seem to get two-man a lot. And I'll hang on and let you answer.
Yeah, well, you just got to take that as a sign of respect. But also, now I have to plan around it. The great players always find a way to beat the double teams anyway. You know, the great players find a way to make the play even if it's going away from them. The great player finds a way to split the double team if they're getting on the run game and still make the play or disrupt the play. And I just have to plan around expecting a double team or expecting sometimes three people come my way or sometimes the protection is slid to me. You know, you just got to plan for that, and I have to work on getting better at beating it. And, you know, it can get frustrating, but, you know, you can't let it slow you down. You just got to keep on playing.
All right, Greg, appreciate it. Let me you kind of did a great job of answering what you meant by beat a double team a couple times. You want to slide through it or stay parallel down the line of scrimmage. Let me ask you, is beating a double team sometimes just maintaining your gap and someone else makes a play around you?
Well, it depends on what you're talking about on a pass or run.
Give me an example on a run. If you're
if you get a double team, beating a double team doesn't necessarily always mean splitting it. Beating a double team means no movement, even though you're getting double team. Just sitting on the line of scrimmage and there's no movement, the running back has nowhere to go because there are two big linemen sitting in his way, usually where there will be movement and he has space to run. You know, but like I was saying, the great players like Sapp would do, he could split the double team and make the play, you know. I'm working on splitting the double team. I do split double teams, but like I said, the great players split the double team and make the play, and I'm working to get to that.
Levels of success is what you're talking about. All right, going back to the phones. Brian, you're on deck. We're coming right to you after we talk to Brandon. Brandon, you're on with Gerald McCoy.
How you doing, guys? Hey, Gerald. How you doing?
What's up, Brandon?
Man, I see a little monster coming out of you as week goes by, man. You're just doing good as the weeks go on. I just want to say keep up the good work. I know you're going to sack Troy Smith a couple times this week.
Appreciate it.
I have a couple questions for you, though. First is how do you and the defense plan on containing Frank Gore on Sunday? Because I see a lot of similarities between him and Michael Turner. And Turner had a good game against y'all a couple weeks ago. And second, which is a little off topic, what do you do to get yourself pumped up for a game? Is listening to music, and if it is, what artists do you listen to? And I'll just let you talk, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Brandon.
Appreciate it. Brandon, you know, you always have to plan for a great running back like Gore, and all we can really do is do our jobs. That's everybody play their gap responsibility, and if you have the opportunity to play a block and shed the block, then do that. So now that we're planning on, you know, playing our responsibility, now there comes a time where you have to do more than that. And that's what my coaches have been talking to me about doing, and I'm really starting to do that now. You know, you play your block, now you got your gap. Now shed it and make the play. You know, we have to be very gap sound. We have to tackle. We have to tackle because he can break tackles with the best of them.
Seems like the tackling's been better the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it has been, man. You know, we hit guys, they go to the ground.
And Cody Grimm at the line of scrimmage a lot as well.
Great safeties.
Does that have to do with us playing really with the lead at all?
Well, I mean, that's just Coach Moore's just letting those guys go.
Okay.
I mean, and, you know, we just – you have to – there's certain ways to prepare for guys like that. And but we will be ready.
By the way, Brian, Pat, and Nate coming right to you. But give me a couple seconds on Rondé, man. Every week, Rondé is just out there making a player.
Man, you know, Rondé is just—he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, there's not much more you can say about him. He's a Hall of Famer. That's what you expect from guys like that. And he's our emotional leader.
Does he talk much to you guys on the field or no?
Yeah, he actually did. He did this game definitely, and he always walks up and down the sideline when it's our turn to go on the field and gets us pumped up. And we even got a break on the sideline this game, and it was led by him. I mean, he's who we look up to, and he sets the standard, and he goes out there each and every week and plays his heart out.
All right, that is Gerald McCoy. We're getting ready to talk to Nate and Pat. We're coming to you guys. Stick around. Brian, you're on now with Gerald McCoy.
Hey, Ledge. Hey, Gerald. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Gerald, just want to say definitely glad we got you, and you're doing a great job this year with everything you're facing. You know, my question is going to be very simple. You know, we noticed with Josh Freeman, he's really grown leaps and bounds, and I think a lot of people point to him basically living at One Book Place in the offseason. I know the season's long, and you guys barely get any break at it as it is. But have yourself and Brian Price and Roy Miller, I know that the season's still got a ways to go, but thought about or discussed kind of putting together a similar plan where I know your offseason's short enough as it is, but kind of doing the same type of thing and putting a lot of extra work in together at the facility in the offseason to kind of grow leaps and bounds the same way Freeman did this year? I'll listen off there, and thanks again for your help.
That's a darn good question.
Yeah, it was a good question, Brian. I appreciate that, and I also appreciate your support and the good things you had to say about Freeman. But Brian Price, let me speak about him first. It's so hard to, you know, talk to him because he's been in and out. You know, he had his surgery last week or the week before that, and he's always on the go trying to rehab and get back. One thing I can say about him is he will text me, or I'll text him, and he'll say to me, can't wait to get back. That's all I'm worried about right now. I'm focusing on getting back and, you know, being dynamic next season. He knows that this season's over, but he's so focused on next season. So, you know, he's on the grind every day. And that's Brian Price. Me and Roy Miller, we hang out all the time. And you would think for this being what we do all the time, we wouldn't talk about it, but that's all we talk about. It's how we can change things, not just next year, but even right now, how we can get better each week, each day. You know, we're all about getting better for this team. And we haven't necessarily set out a plan for the off season, we always talk about most of our discussions and talks are about us getting better.
If you went into an off-season regimen, would that be set up with, say, your strength and conditioning coach would ask you to do this, your D-line coach would ask you to make sure you do this, and I'm sure there would be a plan to do a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah, definitely, man. That is whether it's conditioning or getting stronger, faster, just getting smarter, knowing the game more. Mm-hmm. Like Freeman, I mean, he could have come in, looked at what the defensive sets were, you know, whether guys were blitzing, just watching how guys rotate, and there's all types of different things you can come in and work on. Me personally, you know, I'll work on getting stronger and faster, and my overall knowledge of the game, like when they're in this certain formation, things I can expect from offensive linemen.
Tendencies.
Yeah, or
lots of them.
You know, just my technique in general, man. I'm going to work on this offseason. Is going to be, for me, mainly technique. That's all I'm going to really work on.
And real quick, I'm sure you would definitely be picking the mind of Warren Sapp from here and there once in a while. Or does he? You don't even have to ask Does he offer his advice?
He does offer.
You?
He does offer, but you know, I definitely will be in contact with him in the offseason.
Very cool. All right, Nate, stand by. We're coming right to you after we talk to Pat. Pat, you're on the Gerald McCoy Show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good evening. First off, McCoy, congrats to a good win. Team 6-3. You know, just need to keep playing hard. But my question is what's your feelings about Steve Smith coming out and talking about Tlaib and Sean Jones, you know, with that supposedly helmet-to-helmet hit at the end of the game?
Oh, well, you know, that's just guys trying to make sure that he doesn't get in, man. If he's leaning just slightly over the line, then that's a touchdown. And those guys were just making sure. I mean, nobody wants to go out there and injure anybody. Nobody. I mean, why would you take a head-to-head, helmet-to-helmet shot with a guy that's just laying over a pile? Nobody was intentionally trying to go helmet-to-helmet. Those guys were just simply playing fast, like Coach tells us to do, and just trying to make sure he couldn't lean over. That's it. That's all it was.
Steve Smith's a very fiery competitor. We'll give him that. But he's also a guy that doesn't like to lose. That's what makes him a fiery competitor. And I'm sure he still had enough adrenaline going to last him a couple of weeks. But, you know, where was Steve Smith when Clifton Smith got completely laid out last year by one of the Carolina players? So, you know, sometimes what people say, there's you might want to get their opinion 36, right, 48 hours after a game rather than 6 minutes after a game.
Right.
So, because if you look at the hits, there's nothing malicious about them. It's just one guy's coming in at an angle, another guy's leaning at an angle. And, again, that's –
it's like Cody Graham's penalty.
Exactly.
Oh, it wasn't helmet to helmet. He just left his feet. That's all it was. And you can't leave your feet, and he laid into him. And, I could see if you threw the flag, if the guy got hit, and he just laid there, then you're like, oh, that's a flag. Well, if he hit him and the guy immediately got up and just threw the ball to the ref, come on now.
Two-minute drill.
That's what it is.
Two-minute drill. I'm sitting there going, you know, that's how it happened. Anyway, you know, we don't want to get you fined right here either. So, all right, we'll go back to the phones. And Nate, got open lines behind Nate, by the way, at 813-990-4620. Got two open lines. Jump on them at 727-461-4620 or 1-800-596-BUCKS and ask Gerald McCoy a question or just make a comment. They are 6-3. We're enjoying this, getting ready, of course, to go out west and take on the Arizona Cardinals. All right, Nate, how you doing?
All right, what's up, G-Mac?
What's up, man?
Yeah, man, look, would you say you have been unleashed? Because it seemed like you playing a little more freely and you're a little more comfortable. Is it something different that you're doing or something that the coach told you to do differently?
No, Nate, good question, man. I appreciate that. Honestly, I'm just going out there playing. I'm just letting it go. You know, you're new to the NFL. You don't want to mess up. You want to do good so bad. You don't want to make mistakes. The coaches are trusting you to be in a starting role, fresh out of college, and you just want to do everything so perfect. This is a game of imperfections. You just got to go out there and make things happen.
Who told you that?
Hmm?
That sounds like something one of your D-line coaches would say. Believe me, what you just said makes perfect sense. It describes your first four games and your last four games.
Yeah. This is a game of imperfections, man. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. And I had to learn how to make a mistake and move on to the next play. Because what can you do about it now? It's over. You can't go in the past and fix it. It's over. Move on to the next one. And that's what I'm going out there and I'm playing like, you know, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm finally starting to get a hold of this technique and just playing. You know, that's what I did at OU. I just played and I let it go. And that's what I'm starting to do here.
Well, I think, you know, you say a lot, you know, and actually a little later we'll let you do your Bible verse, but you always say how much you do trust in your God. So
definitely.
Sometimes you got to make sure you trust a little bit more too and just take – you always say, I was put on this earth to play football. You feel that.
Yeah.
You got to trust it.
Right.
And go with it. All right, Nate, good call. You can get in behind Nate, and we'll take some more of your phone calls in a couple of minutes as we come back. Of course, you're playing the 49ers this week. I don't know why I kept saying Arizona Cardinals. Every time you go out west, it's like one of those 4-3, 3-4 teams that you're always nervous about because, you know, they look great 1 week and they look horrible the next week.
San Francisco's a little deceiving, though, but we'll talk about that.
You got it. Gerald McCoy wants to talk to you. Get on the phones, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. It's Ledge and Gerald McCoy coming back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Gerald McCoy Show on your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
Welcome back, Buccaneer fans. The Gerald McCoy Show coming your way every Tuesday night right here on the Buccaneer Radio Network, 6-3. Getting ready to head out to take on San Fran. We're going to go to Dave and Anthony. Anthony, you're up next with Gerald McCoy. How you doing, bro?
I'm all right. How y'all doing?
Hello?
Yeah.
You doing?
All right. How y'all doing?
All right.
All right, first of all, I just want to come in and say great game. And I kind of noticed on one play, Jeff, where you had a good rush going, and you had just missed Jimmy Clausen, and I seen you shake your hand like, dang. You know, but that's just a sign of you want to improve and you hungry for that first set. And all I want to say is go Bucks, and let's go get San Francisco.
All right, appreciate that, Anthony. Yeah, man. That play, I know exactly what play you're talking about because the guys in the D-line room, they were like, oh, he was right there.
Was that when he had the 2-yard gain? Is that that one?
Oh, no.
Or was it the out of bounds? He flushed him out of bounds.
Well, he ran out of bounds.
Yeah.
Because he didn't even see me coming. But I guess he kind of looked to his left a little bit, and he seen me, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, and that's happened the past few weeks, that same thing has happened. But, you know, it's coming.
Yeah, but the play is the play. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a tip pass, a batted down pass, a tackle for a loss.
The thing about it is, I ran him out the pocket. I ran him out of bounds. I messed up the play, and I was being disruptive.
And you get to show your speed too, your
size.
That's
what I'm supposed to do.
That's kind of impressive when you start, you know, running sideline to sideline against a guy who's got about 40 pounds, 50 pounds lighter than you, and you. You get a chance to really motor a little bit this, like I said, the last 3 or 4 games. But it also, you know, is it like Styles had it looked like, I don't know why they didn't call intentional grounding on his sack. It looked like darn close to, you know, a perfect sack.
Right.
It's almost like the team's a little snake bit in that sack category because obviously when you look at the sacks of this team, it's not exactly something you want to brag about. But at the same time, we're starting to see the change, the thing get better. Did you or does anybody expect it to suddenly go from worst to first that quickly? Doesn't it get better in increments? Doesn't it take a while?
It gets better over time.
Yeah. Because it's a unit working together, and you're all practically rookies. That's what I'm talking about.
But we know that.
Yeah.
We know that. But from a fan standpoint, you want it now. This is what you want. We drafted Gerald this year. We want it now. That's why we drafted him, so he could do something now. But what that is, it's a little different than, you know, getting sacks is not a right now thing. It takes time. It takes structure. And it takes guys who have chemistry, just like quarterback to a receiver thing or his whole receiving core. It takes time.
There's timing on those pass
rushes. Right. You have to work as a unit. And it's just chemistry, man. And we're developing that. You know, we're getting a completely different look, man, with the guys rushing. You know, Tim Crowder rushed inside this time. Mike Bennett was out there in our rush formation. Seeing Dakota Watson out there. I mean, we started to change it up. And it's working for us, giving teams different looks because they were starting to pick up on things. So just giving them different looks.
You haven't played a ton in the NFL. Dave, we're going to come to you in just a sec. But, you know, the 3-4 is much more prominent than it used to be. It used to be 2 teams, I think, in the entire NFL ran 3-4s. Now there's a lot of 3-4s because it's just a more successful way. You have bigger bodies near the line of scrimmage. You got a much better chance of stopping the run, and that's how you kind of survive. But you guys are running that 3-3-5, which is kind of a hybrid because you don't, again, as long as you don't know where the guys are coming from.
Right.
And how many times did you run it on third down? I thought I saw it out there a lot.
A bunch.
Yeah.
Like almost the whole 2 minutes at the end of the game was that. There was one time where it looked like it was a 4-man rush, but it just lined up wrong. But it was almost, I think, every play of the 2 minute is what happened. And, you know, it's working for us. I mean.
Yeah, I see the grin.
It is.
Very good.
And kind of had to make some adjustments. You know, I was out there on the edge. I asked my coach, put me out there on the edge at times. You know, but let me rush in the middle. Let me take up two or three guys, which is what I've been doing for a long time, and let those ends rush. Let those linebackers rush off the edge and put me on the end when I need to run down and bang a guy in the middle. You know, and that's kind of what the coaches have been doing, and it's working for us.
All right. Good to hear. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. Chuck is on deck. We're going to Dave. Dave, you're on with Gerald McCoy.
Hey, Gerald. Hey, hey, do Dave. All of us want to be players a favor? Hey, will you do me a favor? Tell us what's going through your mind and right before the snap of the ball. And more specifically, you know, if you're getting a run play that's coming your way and you're anticipating it, what's going through your mind? And then second, when you stick a guy and drop him for a loss, I mean, what's that feel like?
Okay. Yeah, no problem, Dave. That's a good question, man. I've never really been asked that, honestly. And this is being, completely honest, it's not a football answer. After you get your pre-snap reads and everything's going on, once my hand hits the ground, I clear my mind. Because if you do too much thinking, okay, he's coming here or he's going there, you could be thinking about that. And then when it's not what you think it is, you make a bad step or you get behind or you're late off the ball. Once I think, okay, I got my pre-snap read, playing the tendencies, okay, now I have a good feeling of where it's going.
First time you've played a team twice. We talked right. about this last week coming into the Carolina right. game. Did you notice that the film study had paid off a little?
It helped, and those guys, they got a completely different player than the first time they played me. And you could kind of see it. Those guys were kind of like, you know, okay, this guy's not the same guy as the first time we played him. And when I put my hand in the dirt, I clear my mind. And only thing I think when my hand goes in the dirt, get off the ball. As soon as anything flinches, you go. And that's it. And to answer your question about if I think it's coming to me, well, if I think it's coming to me, my object is to beat this guy to a certain point. So I know if I beat him there, I've done my job. Now it's time to go make a play. You know, and then when I do that and I make that tackle for loss or I make that tackle that I need to, it feels good because, you know, you got a big stop. Now you can move on to the next one, and you did what you were supposed to. You did your job for your team. You know, you got your teammates come celebrate with you, and it feels good.
And well, I'm not sure what the coach was. It might have been even Monty Kiffin. Sir, he said, "No, football is about whooping the man in front of you."
Right.
That's
it
what
is,
it
man.
Really
it's,
is.
It, honestly, on the line, it's a one-on-one battle. That's really what it is. Unless somebody, you know, say, "I need some help on this one. Let's double team it." You know, it's
yeah, but in the back of your mind, if you got two guys on you, you know one of at least one of your men.
Even if it is 2-on-1, it's still a 1-on-1 battle because if you whoop that guy that's in front of you, this guy really does nothing to you. Like if I get a double team and I attack the V of his neck and I punch him and got him going backwards, this other guy that's trying to help, it's harder for him to help because I'm whooping this one guy.
And he can't engage you in certain ways because
right.
he'll get
you don't
want to
play two men. Yep. You never want to play two guys. You beat one, and that other guy can't block you.
See?
Yeah.
You learned that old Jedi trick from someone around here recently, did you?
Yeah.
I love it. Chuck, you're up next. Welcome to the program, Chuck.
Hey, Gerald. Guys, love your show. I just wanted to tell Gerald, you know, don't listen to the haters. Y'all 6-3. You playing well. You're not getting the sacks, but SAP wasn't built in a year. You know, it's going to happen for you. Just got to keep working hard. Keep your faith tight. And we love the Bucks, and we're cheering for you. And like I said, it's going to happen for you. Just, you know, just keep playing hard and go Bucks.
Chuck, man, I really appreciate that. You know, I have callers call in, and I love every caller that calls in, whether it's you know, a question that may bother me or what it is. But I really appreciate that. You know, I get people call in and ask, okay, when is the sack coming or when is this or when is that? All you said is, you know, they will come. You playing well. Don't pay attention to what people are doing. And I really appreciate that, man. It comes from, you know, the people that are around me all the time. But to hear it come from a fan, it's kind of a different perspective. And, you know, it's good to hear, especially when you mention about a, you know, hopefully Hall of Famer, one of the greatest D-linemen ever played this game. he mentions that he didn't, you know, he wasn't built in a year or 8 games or 9 games or whatever it is. It helps out a lot. So I appreciate that, Chuck.
Not to mention that Warren Sapp redefined that position. Okay, before Warren Sapp played that position, there wasn't the under tackle position was there, but it wasn't ever played that way.
Right. Yeah. He
literally
the game.
changed the game.
That they okay. Let's talk about this. I'm switching it over, but it's talking about the same subject. Michael Jordan. There were guys before Michael Jordan who played great. And
we
played
even talked
well.
About this.
We talked about this.
Yep.
You know, Oscar Robertson. The guys who played, they were great players. Michael Jordan changed the game. Nobody had ever played it like him. He's like, who is this guy? What is this he's doing? You know, he just changed the game, and he was another great player. But the way he did it completely changed how people play the game.
That's
now.
Right.
Kobe Bryant, his game looks just like Michael Jordan's. I don't care what people say. Kobe's my favorite player, but I'm real about it. His game looks just like Michael Jordan's because he changed it, okay? Sapp came in and changed that whole position. He just changed it. And, you know, people are expecting me to do that. That's what I'm trying to tell them. I'm not him.
Nope.
I won't be him. He completely changed how it's played. You guys that want me to play the way he set the bar.
You want to be a complete player in your sport. Michael
right.
Jordan, a lot of people forget, was one hell of a defensive player.
He did it all.
That guy could play some defense, okay?
Right.
But no one ever talks defense when they say Michael Jordan. And Warren Sapp became a complete player. In other words, he got sacks, but he also played the run. He also was disruptive on other plays. You want to be known as a guy who doesn't one thing. Exactly.
Everybody is talking about these sacks and all that. You know, they're coming. And I'm not losing focus.
I'd rather get wins.
You're right. We win.
I'd rather
you
get wins.
Man, it's coming. If people want to talk about me, then that's fine. Talk about me. But I'm just going to keep preparing hard.
Give me 10 wins and
hard.
One sack,
you know,
and
what?
I'm a happy man.
Yeah, I'm going to keep playing hard, preparing hard. And I'm not going to change what it is I'm doing because it's not like I'm going out there not giving any effort.
I mean,
I'm improving each week. So I'm going out there and working hard, and I'm just going to keep doing the same thing.
Let's see if we can get to at least one more caller. Goni, very cool name. Goni, you're on with Gerald McCoy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing all great. Right. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, no problem, man. I was very excited when the draft happened this season. I was very optimistic when the way they drafted, and I've been watching Gerald McCoy since the preseason. I know he struggled a little bit in the beginning because, you know, he was under a lot of pressure, young guy, trying to make it in the league, but the way I see him play the last 3-4 games, man, he's getting closer and closer and closer to that quarterback, man. And it's going to happen in San Francisco this week when Gerald McCoy, your number one pick, going to get his first sack this weekend.
Well, I appreciate that, Goni, and it's great to hear that, man. And I appreciate all your support. And, you know, keep supporting me, man. Most of all, keep praying for me. I'm going to keep working hard for the fans, for my team. And I'm not going to give up, man. It's coming.
A lot of good calls tonight. We appreciate everybody who called in. We'll come back and finish it up, talk a little bit about, of course, the San Francisco 49ers. And Gerald is a man who gets his inspiration from the good book, and we'll actually let him talk to you about that in a couple of minutes when we come back and finish up the Gerald McCoy Show. Don't forget, tomorrow night we will sit down with Roy Miller. He'll be our guest for Buccaneers Total Access every Thursday night, of course. His number 5, Josh Freeman. Friday, since they're traveling out west, there'll be no more Buccaneers Total Access Show for this Friday, by the way. We'll come back and finish it up on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
This is the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back to Gerald McCoy Show. A couple of minutes left on the Buccaneers Radio Network. It is the season, of course. The holidays right around the corner. Metropolitan Ministries teaming up with the Buccaneers. Quite a few Buccaneers were out there helping people with donations and making sure that food gets to needy people. Tell me about what happened for you out there.
We went today, and I think they were cooking like 700 meals, I think it was. And you know, we just did what we could to help out. People were looking at us funny because there was me, Cody Graham, and Doug Worthington. out there trying to pull these tents. And we were trying to – all you got to do is pull it and then push it up and it's set. We could not get that tent to open up. They were looking at us like, you mean to tell me y'all can play all this football, but y'all can't get a tent to open up? Yeah, you know, it was funny. Then I got to cut a turkey and not cut it, cooked. It was, pulled it out the water, threw it on the cutting board, and just went to work. It kind of made me not want to eat turkey. But, you know, I doubt if that'll happen. But, you know, then we got to play with kids, and I made a very unique hat. I made a Tampa Bay hat, and it was pretty legit.
The reason I bring that up is because you're all about, you know, so much of your life you've devoted to your Christianity and the Bible and your faith, and you love to not just profess your faith but live it, and the type of thing you did today is living your faith as well.
Right.
But you're also inspired by the words of that book, and we always take this time in the show to let you talk about it, so go ahead.
All right. This week, everybody, it's kind of been set up perfect how people are calling and tell me about the sacks, or you know, people are saying, you know, when are the sacks coming or whatever it is. And people are saying how I'm getting better and all that. This scripture right here kind of, you know, it's really perfect for kind of the situation that's going on. And it's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. And it simply says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. Likewise, patience is better than pride. And for me, that's great because, you know, people won't want to say, and even me, I wanted it right now. I want to see it come immediately. But you got to think, you know, God has a plan for each of our lives. He does. And things happen according to his will and how he wants them to happen. So I never think God lets things happen with a terrible end in mind. You know, he lets you go through things and lets you deal with things with a great ending in mind. And this scripture says the end of a matter is better than the beginning. So, of course, it's going to seem rough in the beginning. But if you stick to God and ride it with him, then the end will be great.
You find the purpose
right.
in it, too, in the middle.
Right.
You know, when you're going through the fire in the middle, that's like, you know, they always, when they make that sword, that you got to go through the hard
right.
part, the difficult journey, the, you know, the and then when you
right.
see it on the outside. So you're starting to see your game come
starting
around.
To see it come around.
The coaches
man.
Are seeing it. Players are seeing
just
it. People
it,
on
man.
Television are saying, this McCoy kid, look, he's making plays here. Joe McCoy, we're hearing Joe McCoy. We're hearing it more and more and more. So you're starting to feel
starting
that the
feel
effort
it,
you're putting in. Storyline's changing.
Right. And the end of the scripture says, patience is better than pride. You know, just be patient. Let it happen. Keep trusting in the Lord. That's where my confidence is at. And I'm going to keep on pushing, keep on working.
You guys don't seem to have looked past any teams yet this year. It's not
nope.
that you're, you know, some upper echelon, you know, expecting to go all the way to Super Bowl. You wouldn't get caught looking past a team. Last week we heard about a trap game. This week it's another one of those, hey, you guys got a chance to get to 7-3.
7-3.
7-3 is a big number in this league. That's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
Because that sets you up. You get set up for the playoffs in November. You play your toughest ball in December. But you guys seem to be building momentum, and you're starting to feel the turn on defense too, aren't you?
Definitely, man.
Yeah.
It's coming along, and we're just going to keep working, keep pushing, man. Keep sticking to our core beliefs, score, get the ball back, play hard, fast, consistent. And, you know, we're just and smart, and we're just going to keep it rolling, man.
All right. Stay healthy.
Definitely. God's watching out for me, man. He keeps me healthy. It's nothing I'm doing. It's all God.
Get in the backfield, cause some havoc, and we'll talk next week.
Let's do it, man.
That's
San
how it
Francisco,
works.
Here we come. 7-3, baby. Let's roll.
You got it. You've been listening to the Gerald McCoy Show. Tomorrow night we'll sit down with Roy Miller. Thursday night we'll have Josh Freeman for you, so don't forget about those shows coming up real soon right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.